absolutely wonderful to lift up Jesus for being our Lord and the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. Blessed be his name.
Blessed be his name.
Well, after the service, yeah. you can come, okay? So, anyway, I'm glad you are all here today. It's not by chance that you are here. God has brought you here for a reason. Therefore, let's look to Him as to what He has for us from His Holy Word. So, let's begin. In 1799, a British patrol ship ordered an American vessel into Port Royal for inspection. You see, the British suspected that the American ship had contraband on board. But before reaching the harbor, the captain of the American ship ordered that the smuggled goods and the cargo list be tossed into the sea. What a clever and cunning move by the captain. Will the captain's move succeed in concealing damning evidence? Your guess is as good as mine. Well, at the trial, it appeared that no one will be convicted because a falsified list was presented with no evidence of contraband. The proceedings took a dramatic turn, however, when Lieutenant Michael Fitton of the British ship Ferret produced the genuine papers listing the illegal goods. You see, earlier, his crew had harpooned a shark and discovered them in his stomach. This amazing story brings to mind a powerful and prophetic message in which one of God's prophets declared that God will cast out all our sins into the depths of the sea to show that when God forgives, our sins are gone forever. Just like we sang today, He's the God who gives us pardon. And we are going to learn more about that today. Unlike that ship's papers, they will never be retrieved. That is, when God forgives my sins and your sins, they will never be retrieved and brought against us. How special and how sweet. So this brings me to the heart of the message God has given me from His Word today to deliver to you at this decisive hour in your life and my life. So please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit is so poised and prepared to plant the seed of God's life-changing and lasting truth. In order to change genuine born-again believers among us here today, more into the blessed likeness of Jesus Christ, the healer and the helper of the church, and to convict unbelievers among us here today of their sin of unbelief, gently and generously and graciously leading them to genuine repentance and personal saving faith in Jesus Christ, who is the Holy One of God and the hope of the nations. So here's our message in a nutshell. So please pay close attention to it with an open heart and an open mind, willing to receive it and respond to it. Here's the message in a nutshell. God graciously and willingly forgives the sins of repentant sinners, choosing never to bring them against them because of His unchanging love for them. God graciously and willingly forgives the sins of repentant sinners, choosing never to bring them against them because of his unfailing and unchanging love for them. To say it simply, when Almighty God forgives, our sins are gone forever. Folks, friends, faithful followers of Christ among us here today, and fellow believers in the fold and flock, in the fellowship and family of God, the Bible is going to vividly and visually show us today that the God of the Bible, that is Yahweh, the self-existent, the self-sufficient, the sovereign and the supreme deity of the universe, who is fully and finally revealed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, is a God who is willing to forgive sinners. He is willing not only to take our sins away, but also tread our sins underfoot. This, I tell you, friends, is good news to all the people of the world. Jews or Gentiles, great or small, poor or rich, educated or uneducated, black or white, men or women, boys and girls. Why? We are all in need of what? Forgiveness, as we sang in our first hymn. The Bible will remind us today afresh that we have a God who forgives sins. So please, if you have your Bibles, I saw Pastor Jay holding the Bibles. If you have your Bibles, turn them to the prophetic book of Micah. Micah chapter 7, verse 18 to 20. Is getting to the end of the Old Testament. You find it there between Nahum and Micah. Micah chapter 7, verse 18 to 20. So will you please listen carefully as I recite our gospel story from the updated New American Standard Bible. Some of you are saying, why are you saying gospel story when you are talking about the Old Testament? Well, the message we are going to listen to today is about God's love and forgiveness. And we will find it in the Old Testament book. Before it was written in the New Testament, it was already printed, written in the Old Testament. So if you have your Bibles, look at Micah chapter 7, verse 18 to 20. The Bible says, Micah chapter 7. Brother Carl, could you mention the page for them? Because it's this
906,
okay. So Micah chapter 7, verse 18 to 20, the Bible says what? Who is a God like you who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious act of the remnant of his possession? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in unchanging love. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, you will cast all the sins into the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and unchanging love to Abraham, which you swore to our fathers from the days of old. This is the word of God to the people of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word today. Micah, whose name means who is like the Lord, that is what his name means, was a genuine prophet of God who saw the world through God's eye. He is known as the prophet to the poor because he had a burden for the poor of the land who were being oppressed by the rich and wealthy people of his day. In his prophetic message, Micah reminded his fellow citizens, and he's reminding us today this: God is alive. God is not blind. God sees and knows the conditions of our times. For those who persisted in sin, Micah warned them, saying, "Be warned, sin does not go unnoticed and will be punished." But for those who turn away from their sins, Micah encouraged them with his words. You can count on it, when God forgives your sins, he will never retrieve them and bring them against you. What a message of hope and healing for broken people like you and me. That is why the Lord laid this message on my heart, because he wants to tell us today that when he forgives us, he's never going to retrieve those sins against us, like we saw in the story where they were able to harpoon a shark and he brought out what? The list of the contraband goods. Actually, the last three verses of the book of Micah are joined to the book of Jonah for reading in the synagogue on the afternoon of the Day of Atonement. Once a year on the afternoon of New Year, the Orthodox Jew goes to a running stream or a river and symbolically empties his pockets of his sins into the water while he recites Micah chapter 7, verse 18 to 20. So this passage is so critical. The service is called Tashlik, after the Hebrew word meaning you will cast. So the Jew goes to the river, and I have things in my pocket, so I can't do that. And empties his pocket symbolically of his sins. But by God's grace to us, you and I know this is not God's way of casting out sins in the depths of the sea. He does this for us only because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary, where he bore our sins as our high priest who died and shed his blood for us. Now, there are three significant spiritual lessons in the last three verses of the prophetic book of Micah, which the Holy Spirit is so eager to impress or teach us today anew in order for us to gain a fresh confidence. What I want you to gain today is to gain a fresh confidence in God's willingness, listen carefully, to take away your sins and my sins and totally remove them far from you and far from me. So if you are ready to receive this message, let's begin. First of all, notice that the pardon of God is convincingly stated in verse 18a. That is why I like the song we sang in the first time. It says, to look on him and pardon me. To look on him and pardon me. God had prepared this message of pardon through two people. I didn't talk to Robin when she prepared to choose this song. And now God is giving us this message of pardon. Well, the prophecy of Micah begins with a strong statement about God's punishment of the sins of Samaria and Jerusalem. If you read chapter 1 and 2, it's all about punishment that God was going to mete out to the people of Samaria and Jerusalem. But Micah closes his prophecy with a song of praise, exalting Yahweh and extolling his forgiveness, his faithfulness, his compassion, and his commitment to do away with the sins of his people for good. The prophet Micah will show us that the God of the Bible, listen carefully, pardons iniquity. That the God of the Bible is a forgiving God. That the God of the Bible is supreme in forgiveness. That is why in a convincing and confident manner, the prophet declares these precious words in verse 18a, at the beginning of verse 18. Listen to what he says. He says what? Who is a God like you who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious act of the remnant of his possession? So in adoration and awe of the goodness and graciousness of God, the prophet Micah cries out like this: who is a God like you? which many students of the Bible believe is a deliberate wordplay on his name. Remember, Micah means what? Who is like the Lord? It's almost similar to who is a God like you. As we are about to see, this question emphasizes the matchless or unequaled nature of God who pardons his people. Actually, this question, who is like God, is asked many times in similar forms all throughout the Bible. It has been asked several times in the Old Testament as God's people express their wonder of him. It was first asked at the Red Sea. Remember at the Red Sea, when the people crossed the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 15 verse 11, they asked that question, who is like a God like thee, like you? And the answer to that question is that Yahweh is incomparable because he does glorious and mighty deeds. It was also asked in Psalm 35 verse 10 with the answer that Yahweh is incomparable because he comes to the aid of the weak, of the poor, and the needy. I like that because he applies to me. It was also asked in Psalm 71 verse 90 with the answer that he delivers from threatening death. Again, it was asked in Psalm 89 verse 6 to 8 with the answer that God, Yahweh, is more powerful than all the other gods. But here in Micah chapter 7 verse 18, the prophet exclaims that God is incomparable because God does what? He forgives, he pardons, and he takes away our sins. The Bible is saying God is a God of forgiveness. And he excels in forgiveness. He excels in doing what? Forgiving sins of his repentant people. He's wonderfully and amazingly unique when it comes to forgiveness. You see, it is not might, nor wonders, nor help in time of need that finally make God absolutely unique. Rather, Yahweh is altogether different from all other gods and human beings and things, because, listen carefully, having great power, which he could use to crush me anytime, to crush you anytime, Yahweh also willingly, lovingly, graciously chooses to what? Forgive people like you and me who miss the mark and make big messes in our lives. He chooses willingly, lovingly, graciously, faithfully to pardon our sins. I tell you folks, God is in a distinguished class all by himself when it comes to the matter of forgiving repentant sinners. There is no one like him. No magistrate, no circuit court judge, no Supreme Court judge. In fact, no one forgives as God does. Please, if you really know and have experienced the forgiveness of God, that is the God of the Bible, you too cannot help but cry out like Micah, who is a God like you who pardons iniquity? If you have never been moved by the Holy Spirit to burst into joyful and jubilant praise of God as the God who is supreme in forgiveness, you know what you are doing? It tells me you are taking the forgiveness of God for granted. It means you are taking the forgiveness of God lightly. Micah says, when I think of God as a God who pardons my iniquity, I will jubilantly declare what? Who is a God like you who pardons iniquity? When was the last time you have received forgiveness from God and you jubilantly praise God for such forgiveness? Now, please notice that God not only pardons iniquity, but the Bible also tells us he passes over the rebellious act of the remnant of his possession, that is, his inheritance. The expression passes over is another Hebrew way of saying God forgives sins. Actually, the three most frequently used words for sin are employed in verses 18b to 19, namely iniquity, rebellious act, and sins. If you have the NIV, it mentions them differently. The point of using these three common words for sins is this, is to teach us that God, listen carefully, deals with every form of sinfulness. Whatever sin, every form of it, God is the only one qualified to deal with it and to take it away. Now, the word translated rebellious act is actually a technical term for willful deviation from the path of righteousness. It is a premeditated crossing of the line of God's law. It's a rebellious act of rejecting God's authority. But the Bible says, listen carefully, as serious as that is, the Bible says encouragingly to us that God passes over or forgives our rebellious acts. That is good news. God does not punish our rebellious act as justly as he might, nor deal with the sinner according as our sins deserve. Why? Because, as we sang, there was one who hung on the cross who paid for our sin debt in full. This is good news. Indeed, this is great news to you and me. Now, someone says, is the Bible teaching that because God pardons our iniquity and passes over our rebellious act, that means that we should go on sinning? Because after all, God pardons our iniquity. God passes over our rebellious act. Actually, the opposite is the case. Please listen carefully now. The most important truth to keep us from sinning is the knowledge that God, listen, is unsurpassed in his forgiveness and will have mercy on us if we do sin. In other words, God wants us to know that he's a forgiving God, and through that knowledge, we will be kept from sinning. We will not just willfully enter into sin. Now, here's an important question for you to consider. Have you ever paused to ponder why Almighty God forgives your sins? Is it because of your good behavior and your good works? Is it because of your promise to God, God, I will do better next time? Why does God, who is fully and finally revealed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, forgive your sins and forgive my sins? Well, the Bible itself now answers these questions for us. And so the principal reason for God's forgiving heart is concisely set forth in verse 18b. Underline the last part of verse 18 of Micah chapter 7. I tell you, friends, the principal, or the primary, or the predominant, the paramount, or the first and foremost reason why God forgives our sins, listen carefully, is found in himself, not in us. In other words, the main reason why God pardons and does not keep his anger forever against a wayward and wretched sinner like myself is all taken from himself. That is the reason why God forgives my sin. It's all because of himself. That is why the prophet Michael, speaking by the Spirit of God, with great excitement, and enthusiasm exclaims in the second part of verse 18. He says what? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in unchanging love. You see, Micah is celebrating God here. You know why he's celebrating God? Micah is full of gratitude to God that the reason God forgives his sins is not because of his good works and his good behavior. He's full of joy because he knows that God forgives his sins not because of his faithfulness even as a prophet. Micah said, Lord, I'm so thankful today that the reason you pardon me of my sin is not because of my performance as a prophet, but it's all because of your pleasure in bestowing on me your unchanging love. Now let me ask you a question. Does God have the right to retain or keep or hold fast to his anger forever against us for missing the mark and messing up again and again? Does he have the right? Yes, he does. But the Bible tells us what? He does not stay angry forever against us. Why? Because the Bible says the reason is found in God himself. It's all because God delights, the Bible tells us, in unchanging love. This is what provides the basis for why God forgives us and relents of his anger against us. Please, let's take note of this. God does not delight in condemnation. God does not delight in condemnation. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But God longs to bestow or show his unchanging love to you and to me. How loving is that? And how caring is that? Actually, there are two words that will help us gain a deeper understanding of what the Bible is teaching us here. And the first word is delights. It means to find pleasure in, to take delight in, to be pleased with something, or to desire. The main meaning is to feel a strong attraction, a strong positive attraction for something. It also means to like something very, very much. Do you know the one thing God likes very, very much? Very, very much? It's showing you and me his unchanging love in forgiving our sins. That's what he likes very, very much. So the second word is unchanging love. It's called in the Hebrew chesed. It is one of the most important words in the Hebrew Old Testament. It is more an attitude of love which contains mercy. It also means the loving kindness of God in condescending to the needs of his creatures. And it is also translated as loyalty, unfailing love, mercy, goodness, favor, kindness. You get the point. No English word is able to fully capture the meaning of this word, chesed. But what the Bible wants us to understand here is this. God finds great pleasure in forgiving us our sins and holding back his anger against us because of his unfailing love. God likes very, very much to pardon our sins and not stay angry against us forever because of his unchanging love for us. God takes pleasure in taking away our sins because of his loving kindness to us. That, I tell you, friends, is good news. Please, I want you to do something as a way of remembering this message. Turn to the person next to you and say these words to that person. God likes very, very much to forgive you. God likes very, very much to forgive you because of his unchanging love for you. Earlier in chapter 6, verse 6 to 8, the prophet Micah tells the people of Judah that when it comes to receiving forgiveness from God, he does not take delight in thousands of rams that are sacrificed. In other words, no ritual, no religious performance can move God to forgive us. And Micah tells the people in Micah chapter 6, he says, With what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the God on high? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings, with yearly calves? Does the Lord take delight in the same word, but now it is used in negative way. Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams, in 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? The expected answer for all this question is what? No. God will not accept thousands of rams to pay for your sin debt and mine. He cannot. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. I thank God so much that His love is unfailing, unchanging, and unconditional. You see, most people's love is so fickle, frail, and fragile, or even flimsy. My younger sister is in the bakery business. For many years, she's been giving people free bread. And oh, how they love to receive that bread, and how they love her for that. But recently, we realized that she cannot continue giving free bread week after week if she wants to make some profit, just basic profit, not any big thing. When she made the decision that she was going to give free bread, not going to give free bread, but that she was going to charge a token fee, guess what happened to people's love for her? People's love meter went down, not up. Why? Because people's love often is conditional. If you do this for me, I'll love you. But I tell you, friends, God's love meter for you and for me always stays at its highest point. It never comes down. It stays always at the highest point. Well, to further guarantee the people of Israel in the days of Micah and born-again believers today that He is indeed supreme in forgiving, ready to pardon, eager to pass over our rebellious acts and to put away our sins from us, God did something for the people. He gave them assurances from His heart to impress upon their hearts His commitment to forgive them forever. And that is why we now come to pledges assuring God's repentant people of God's pardon. In verse 19, we will see that the Bible will clearly spell out for us pledges assuring God's repentant people of God's pardon. It's like God is saying, I want to drive home this point to you, that I'm a forgiving God. As such, it's not enough for me to show you how willing I am to pardon your sins. It's not enough for me to reveal to you the principal reason why I forgive your sins and don't stay angry with you forever. It's because I like very, very much to shower you my unfailing love. But I also want to fill your hearts with assurances of what I will further do for you, which I'm now going to tell you in the pledges I'm making to you. And here are three pledges tucked away in verse 19 for us. The Bible says, He will again have compassion on us. He will tread underfoot. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Now, using the language of certainty, the prophet Micah shares three specific pledges from the heart of God to assure his repentant people of his pardon for them. In other words, God doesn't want you to, when he forgives you, he doesn't want you to be deceived by the enemy who tells you, oh, you are not forgiven. That sin is still holding on to you. It's still climbing on your back. God says, I want to give you these assurances to settle in your heart the fact that I am a forgiving God. Well, the first pledge has to do with God's compassion. That is why he says, he will again have compassion on us. What does it mean to have compassion? Well, to have compassion also means to love deeply, to cherish, to have mercy, to be tender, or to show pity. It usually refers to a strong love, which is rooted in some kind of natural bond, often from a superior one, which is God, to an inferior one, which is us. Folks, that is why I say to you that God's love meter always stays at the highest point. Why? It doesn't move up and down like your love meter and my love meter. God will always listen, love you deeply as he formerly had loved you before you sinned. You think that just because I sin, God's love for me has dropped down? Absolutely not. God will love you deeply as he has loved you before you sinned. God will be tender to you as he was before you walked into that sin, even maybe today, and went astray. That, I tell you, friends, is unchanging, unconditional, and unfailing love. The second pledge given is the conquering of our iniquities by none other than God himself. That is why the Bible says he will tread our iniquities underfoot. If you have the King James Version, it says what? He will subdue our iniquities. You see, the word tread underfoot or subdue is a powerful word that speaks of what? Overcoming, conquering, or bringing something under control. It is use of conquest in battle. Friends, we are in a spiritual warfare with sin. Not only with Satan. We are in a spiritual warfare with sin. No one is qualified as God to conquer sin in our lives. Why? God takes away the guilt of our sins that it may not destroy us. God breaks the power of sin that it may not have dominion over us. God conquers the tyranny of sin over our lives that it may not drag us deeper and deeper into bondage of becoming hopeless and helpless captives of sin. You see, folks, sin is an enemy that fights against us. It's a cruel tyrant that oppresses us. No one or nothing less than Almighty God and Almighty grace can conquer sin in your life and in my life. How encouraging it is to know that when God forgives sins that we have committed, he will also subdue the sin that dwells in us. And in that, there is none like him in forgiving. Do you know that God has pledged to conquer sin in your life? That's a pledge. It's God's pledge of allegiance to you. His pledge to be compassionate to you. His pledge also to what? Conquer sin in your life. And then the third pledge is casting all our sins into the depths of the sea. It can't get any better than this. Just as Pharaoh's massive and mighty army was cast into the Red Sea to perish forever, so also the Bible says here God will deal decisively with the sins of his repentant sinners. Our sins will be cast into the depths of the sea. You see, friends, when God forgives sins, he removes it from us as far as the east is from the west. When God pardons sin, he remembers it no more. I mean, that boggles my mind. Because this is a God who knows everything. But the Bible says he chooses not to remember sin when he's forgiven us. In other words, God takes great care that it shall never be remembered anymore against the guilty but repentant sinner. So please listen. God cast our sins into the sea, not near the shoreline, where they may appear again at the next low tide. But the Bible says what? Into the depths of the sea, never to rise again. And the Bible also says, it is not just some sins God cast into the sea, but what? All of our sins, without exception, are cast into the depths of the sea, where they will never be retrieved and brought against us. When God forgives sin, he forgives all. I feel like shouting, glory to God in the highest, who pardons my sins, who passes over my rebellious act, who pulls away all my sins, never again to bring them against me. What about you? How do you respond to the message that God is a forgiving God who forgives your sin because he delights in showing you his unchanging love, and that once he has forgiven your sins, he will never retrieve them against you? How do you respond to that message? It's for you to respond. I'm not going to tell you how. I want the Holy Spirit to lead you to respond to this message of being forgiven forever.